Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo. Do you want to say Pretty Scary Boo also, Jen?
Say it.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Yay!
That didn't really sound very scary.
Yeah. You'll get it.
Is that a cute, though? It's very cute.
Yeah, I was you'll more like it. Going for like when you're entertaining a baby.
Yeah, she was like twirling her hair around
Pretty
one
scary
finger.
Boo.
Painting her nails pink.
I tried. I tried.
We have a guest on the episode today, Jen Sturger. How's it going? You did
it's going well.
Listcast before,
I did.
Right?
I did. We did sports movies. It was a lot of fun.
We have to get you on more shows.
I know.
Thank you for doing this one today.
A lot of stuff's happened. Like you adopted a dog from me.
We did. And boy, did she recognize you when you came in today. It was very cute.
Oh, I know. She's such a good baby.
She's given up on trying to get into your bag, so that's good.
Yes, that's very good. Well, I moved it in here, so she wouldn't take it.
Very interested in that. We found out she was about
like
to be put down.
I feel like she's scared Angie's going to pickpocket her.
There's no money in there. Good luck, Winter.
Well, we have Winter trained to do that.
What if we put a nanny cam on Angie for like
what
when
if
we're
she
recording?
Smelled that dollar we found outside?
Maybe.
It's the only thing in my purse that might smell funny.
We found a dollar bill outside.
Oh.
And we're like, oh, who? No. Well, I mean, it looks like it just fell out of a pocket.
It should go in Winter's fund.
We were like in Reservoir Dogs where they all have like their guns pointed at each other. Who were like, who's going to take the dollar? And then finally Jen did. She's a thirsty bitch.
Sorry.
I don't know where that came from.
I was walking.
I think it's a Jack Daniels. I'm an angry drunk.
Well, yeah, it's Easter weekend.
We're fun drunk.
We're doing a little. I'm drinking Rolling Rock for Easter weekend because they rolled the stone away.
I didn't get it at first.
I get it.
It's the official beer of Easter weekend. Thank you.
I think I appreciate Carrie's choices.
Well, Carrie's like a fucking Delta blues musician right now. She's just
that Jack Daniel's honey
down in shots of Jack Daniel's
says
honey.
Nothing says Easter like Jack Daniel's honey
from a Tupperware container because I don't have shot glasses or glasses in general.
It's amazing.
Yeah. We were just at the liquor store and I had that moment of like closing my eyes and like, what's calling me? And they don't have Rumpelmann's, which I sadly like that or Goldschlager. And then, I don't know, I didn't feel like wine. And I was like, my eyes happened upon the whiskey. And I was like, do you like whiskey, Adam? And he's like, yeah, it's okay. And I was like, maybe he'll like it if I turn it up a notch. Make it a little sweeter.
Make it a little sweeter, yeah. I think it makes it much more palatable. Exactly.
Which I just told Adam and Angie on the way over there. I was like, yeah, I don't know, like Fireball and even the Goldschlager, all those shots I had last time. Like it was like having a lot of candy. It kind of upset my stomach. And this really is no different.
Yeah.
But this one helps your throat. That's the way it's going to give you a beautiful radio voice.
Yeah. I'll be able to sing like Beyonce?
Yes, sure.
I mean, you already can.
You'll dance like Beyonce.
Definitely.
Oh.
So, yeah, thank you for doing it.
We heard really sad stories about Winter, that she was about to be put down.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring the room down when I walked in.
Pulled her out of the shelter.
Well, no, I was just trying to make you guys feel really good about your choices.
I did. And then I came in the studio just to, you know, not to fan my eyes or anything. No. Just to get everything set up.
And now she's just living the dream on your couch?
She is. That couch reeks. And it is our only sitting area in this apartment. But we're moving soon. We'll figure it out. We're just going to bring that couch for her and like put it somewhere.
Give her own space.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Winter's couch. Don't sit on that.
If you get a yard, you can just put it outside. Yeah.
That will make it smell bad at all.
But then what are you going to do with your inside? Because she will at some point come inside and get on that new couch.
Let's be real. It's all Winter's couches.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you going to be that person who has like plastic covers on their furniture?
Oh, I would love that. Yeah,
you might. Great. Yeah.
Like the really thick ones. Mm-hmm. Hey, we should get to the topic today.
Let's do
it. I sounded very upbeat when I said that. Like we're this is going to be fun.
It's honestly,
it's not.
This the way I found this podcast that I revisited this on is when I remember being in college at Florida State and heard that a girl that I went to high school with went missing, and. You know, like much of the news cycles, you forget after a while because it's like another girl goes missing. Something else happens, you know,
right.
Some catastrophe happens in the world. And like things just kind of get shuffled down into the news, you know. And then I happen to be listening to like another podcast and they're like, well, if you like this one about this girl went missing, you're going to love this one about another girl that went missing. And I happen to recognize the name and I was like, holy shit, she's still not. They still don't know what happened to her. And so that's how I stumbled upon this podcast. And
I think it's interesting that you know her because there are a lot of podcasts and I mean the stories in general about people who go missing. Another similar podcast would be Up and Vanish.
Up and Vanish. That's how I found this one. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's very interesting because you were like – had texted me one night and were like, have you guys covered Jennifer Kesey? And I was like, I don't know.
I had never heard of the case.
Right. And then when I looked into it, I was like, oh, I recognize her picture. And then I recognize the
super
video
pretty.
That we'll talk about. Yeah. And I mean,
that
who doesn't
video
like a pretty person?
Gives me chills. Is that weird?
I remember seeing it years ago on something on either the ID channel or Dateline, but I definitely recognize the video. So I guess Adam's going to take us into the story of Jennifer Kesey.
Oh, I'm okay.
Oh, do you want me to?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah. I got this. Yeah, I'm relatively coherent.
Carrie episode.
She's got that whiskey honey voice going.
Right?
Smooth as honey.
It's coded.
It is coded. Jennifer Kesey was born May 20th, 1981 in Barf, Orlando, Florida.
Oof, rough.
She was a graduate of UCF, but that's not where you went, right?
No, I went to Florida State.
Okay. It's where I learned how to play cornhole at a tailgate.
Really?
Yeah. I had never heard of it until I went to this tailgate party and they're like, we're playing cornhole. I was like, I don't know what that is. And I got like, I think we went to 21 and I got one. And that one, though, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I've still never
played
cornhole.
It's the little thing. You're not missing much.
Yeah.
You know what it is, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I know how it works.
But continue.
Okay. With a degree in finance, and then she started a job at Central Florida Investments Timeshare Company. Say that 8 times fast, Adam.
Central Florida Investments Timeshare Company, Central Florida. I'm not going to do it.
No.
I got it the first time.
A quarter of the way there.
Just imagine I did that 8 times in a row.
Started a job as a finance manager and bought a condo.
Show off.
Yep. Can we take a moment to not talk about her disappearance? Oh, I wrote these notes at happy hour. Can we take a moment to not talk about her disappearance, but to talk about how she was part of the economic bubble that brought about financial crisis? How does a 24-year-old in good conscience buy a condo or get afforded a loan at that age? Help your credit by putting down your Forever 21 credit cards first and rent an apartment like the rest of us until you're well into your 40s.
You silly go-getter. Yeah.
There were some
What's
other
your problem, Jennifer?
There were some other things in there Having that I wrote that I deleted once I was sober.
You were like, oh, I can't say that. There's still someone missing.
Actually, we can say whatever we want, Jen. Beauty of podcasting. This was, because I want to say 2007, 2008 was when the bubble burst.
Yeah, 2008.
So this was slightly before then, and she probably wasn't a part of that. I just got angry for a second. I apologize.
I mean, usually she might have been. A lot of that happened in Florida. So.
Right.
It happened nationwide. But
yeah, but we were really, bad about it in Florida, for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of people like they're buying like retirement homes and shit too.
Well, I thought about this too, because for I think the first 8 months of this girl's disappearance, they said the family set up camp, and this is the way my in her condo, which is the way my mind thinks. I was like, who is paying her mortgage? Right? Or did they just wait till it foreclosed and became a short sale?
Yeah.
Right?
I just, that is question. Weird.
That you is weird. Pay the utilities.
Did her, right? I don't know if her family, like, were they well off? Did they have money?
I think that they did okay. You know what I mean?
Like upper middle
this
class.
Is so fun to have, like, an actual source. I can just go, well, how
was yeah. You? Like, I mean, yeah. Look, I went to a really, the high school that we went to was, it's an upper middle class high school. You know what I mean? Like, there really wasn't a lot of people hurting for money at the school.
Right.
You didn't have anybody on the wrong side
Dan
of the
Bilzerian,
tracks.
Dan Bilzerian went to my high school.
Is that the Instagram guy?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He actually got suspended and expelled for bringing automatic weapons to school in his trunk of his car. Fun fact.
Does anything surprise
you with this guy? No. But anyways, yeah. So that's just kind of telling you like the world that we lived in. You know, our football team wasn't very good. We did have a couple of guys like end up playing college football. You know what I mean? But like we were just a smart, rich school, you know? Right. Me being on the lower end of like the, you know, like I was middle class. But like we all came from good neighborhoods and things like that. So, I mean, I'm assuming that her family like had some money, you know? I was better friends with her brother, Logan, because he was in my grade. And he was like really popular, good looking dude on the soccer team. You know, she was several years older than us. So 2 years older than me. But yeah, it's go ahead and finish the story and I'll just interject things.
Okay. Yeah.
I just ran out of gas.
you were doing great.
No, that was great. Thank you.
Kessie was last seen on the evening of January 23rd, 2006, leaving work at the Westgate Resorts in Ocoee.
Mm-hmm.
Ocoee.
Florida. My sidebar. Why does Florida like their Indian name so much? You would almost think that was part of their history.
It was.
There was.
We ran them pretty much out of the state. It's terrible.
A guy I know once tweeted.
Your high school?
No.
Your white privileged Indians. High school
exactly.
Ran them out?
Yes. Just my high school.
So, Jen.
This
and my college, but we actually pay them royalties.
A friend of mine once tweeted something like, "In I felt like he was being serious. And he tweeted something about how he had just went to California for the first time. And he was like, why are there so many towns with Mexican names? Did Mexico lose a war to the United States over California at some point? I'm like, that's exactly what happened. Like, precisely what happened. Anyway, go on.
I remember when I first moved here and I was driving down to San Diego with some sorority sisters to go into Tijuana to get fen illegally, and
sure,
I was
sure.
Like Junipero, because you don't get it at the time. Like I was fresh off the boat from Illinois.
Oh yeah,
instead of Juanipero.
My friend that just drove down there was like, "Do you know that there's signs about people crossing the freeway?
Yes!
Who would do that?" And I'm like, "Those are illegals, Rebecca."
Driver,
and you do have to beware.
You do have to. Yeah,
they're very darty. They're a darty bunch.
Well, when you're running for your freedom, that's typically how that works.
Darting for your freedom.
Yes.
Oh,
I like the signs in Nevada that say, hey, don't pick up hitchhikers. There's prisons here. Those are always. Oh,
there's those between here and Phoenix, too.
What if you picked up OJ before his release? That'd be a crazy
before
ride.
Before his release, you'd be breaking
He's like, I'm totally doing this like for the story.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like that's something Gary would do. Listen, Jen. Picked up this guy last night, fresh out of prison.
Are you comfortable back there in my Toyota Corolla?
Okay.
She made several calls that night to family and friends, with the last phone call being to her boyfriend to wish him good night at 10 p.m. Jennifer never showed up to work the next day, thus causing concern for her coworkers. I would like to reiterate again, as I did in a previous episode, that I once left for lunch break at noon on a Monday and just did not come back for a week and no one called to ask where I was.
That's so crazy to me, because I almost got fired from a job once because I called in sick one day and then the next day was supposed to be my day off. So I was like, cool, well, I'll just use my day off to recuperate.
Yeah.
Also, then I'll go back. And I went in and my boss was like, I just filled out paperwork to fire you, son. If you call in sick, you don't take your day off. I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, you actually do.
Do? Of course I do. And I mean, I didn't get fired, but.
Well,
what a radical departure from your story. I
know. But plus, I think there's so many different labor laws now where I don't think he could do that.
No, not at all. Probably not.
But yeah, I think they were just like, oh, she quit. Like, it must. I mean, it was enterprise rent a car. I'm sure it happens on the daily where people are like, fuck this. I don't want to deal with anybody else who just got into a car accident and they're pissed off because their insurance pays $20 a day and they normally drive a Lexus, but now we're going to put them into like a Geo Metro.
Ford Flex.
Right? I don't want to deal with that customer again. And they just walk. There used to be times I'd drive people like back to their home because we'd pick them up and take them home. Or back to their body shop. And I would tell people how, like, they'd be like, I'll see you again. I'm like, probably not. I'm probably going to quit. I think I want to be a forensic scientist. I mean, can you imagine? I just start unraveling about how unhappy I am at the company that just did business.
And then they're like, Carrie, why are the doors locked?
Don't worry about it, sir, ma'am, whoever
the
you are.
The garage was OJ. Back that way.
It's all good. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Mid-morning, her employer called her parents, which, I also think is weird. It's not like she played hooky from school. Is this a normal thing to do when someone no calls, no shows for work? If they're a couple hours late.
I would think not.
To call your parents, right? Like, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Most places I've ever worked, again, they're just, if you no called, no show one day.
Right, maybe you
they're
quit.
Just like. Yeah, I don't right, know. Maybe they quit. Next. Maybe we'll hear from them eventually.
Yeah. I maybe this is a different time when like we actually cared about the welfare of the people that
or
we worked
with. Or if it's a family
with.
Run business, like if it's a or smaller just, yeah, just a business. Smaller.
I don't feel like this was one of those though.
I mean, it seems like a bigger company.
It was a resort, right? She worked for a resort?
She was a finance manager for a larger company.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean maybe that her job wasn't outsourced.
Yeah.
Because so, she was at something resort.
Yeah.
And who knows? So they called her parents who drove the 2 hours down to her condo. Yes, Wikipedia keeps calling her place a condo. I get it. Jennifer Kessie had good credit, was a property owner. Enough, Wikipedia.
That's actually in the notes.
Yeah, she's reading this. Jesus Christ.
I had a lot of opinions as I was at happy hour writing these. Upon entering Jennifer's apartment... Wow, I think I passive-aggressively threw some shade. Police and family members noticed that there was a wet towel and clothes laid out on the bed as if she had gotten ready for work. And I wrote intermission, which I don't think I used that correctly. Maybe sidebar.
Sidebar.
Jen, as in Jen Sturger, told me about the podcast Unconcluded, hosted by Orlando native Sean Gerd, with cameos by his best friend Scott Jameson. I am only a few episodes into season one, but already by episode two, Sean is having phone and email conversations with Jennifer's mother, Joyce Kessie. Joyce mentioned some of the inconsistency in the story about Jennifer's appearance and some details that stuck out to her. One, Jennifer was a morning showerer, and the damp towel alludes to the fact that Jennifer was in fact alive the morning of January 24th.
Interesting.
I just want to put it out there that if I ever go missing, I'm a night shower.
Me too.
So
me too.
I am not a morning person. So like,
it confuses me when people are more, because I feel like you've got that stink from all day.
Yeah, no.
Why would you want that on your sheets?
I would never want that on my sheets. So I shower before I go to bed. Plus, I feel like the warm water kind of like relaxes you.
Yeah, it is soothing.
Yeah, so I get to go to bed. If I were to shower in the morning, I'm like, I need a nap.
Dude, I still use a washcloth. That's how Midwest I am. So you don't have like a time like I always do before I go to bed. It's rare. Like if I'm super tired / drunk, I might do it the next day. But for the most part, I do it at night.
I rarely shower at night unless I have a show or something. I'll shower before that. But usually in the morning.
To get the shame off of doing comedy off.
Yeah. Yeah. To just make myself feel a little more clean before I go out and feel very dirty.
There are no signs of foul play or forced entry into Jennifer's condo, leading to the belief that Jennifer was abducted either on the way to her car, which is a black Malibu. We get it, Wikipedia. Jennifer could afford a car, too. Or somehow on her way to work. Greta Van Susteren, and I don't know which news outlet she was working for at the time, but announced that Jennifer's parents arrived at her place around noon, while Joyce said that they arrived closer to 3:15. This links back to the damp towel theory that Jennifer had to have showered that morning and not the night before. Four, Jennifer was reported to have came from a cruise with her boyfriend Justin to St. Croix the day before when, in fact, they had flown to the Virgin Islands. A storm derailed her return flight, so they both flew into Miami, where one of Justin's friends picked them up. I don't know why the cruise was necessarily important. Also, her mom had mentioned that she was so super excited about some Nine West alligator pumps.
Yeah.
That were brown. And I think some of the clothes she had out were of a tan or a beige hue. Mm-hmm. So she goes, I know she was on her way to work. Again, yeah. Just reiterating.
Because those shoes are gone.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because those shoes were gone. Yeah.
So here's a timeline according to Wikipedia and put together through witness testimony. Monday, January 23rd, 6 p.m., Kessie gets off work, returns home, calls her family. This is the first time that she has been to her condo since returning from her vacation and the last time her immediate family would ever hear from her. 10 p.m., Kessie calls her boyfriend, which I talked about. Tuesday, 7:30 to 8 a.m. Investigators initially believe that Kessie was abducted at some point after leaving her condo and walking to her car to go to work. They now believe she was abducted at some point on the way to work, which seems really weird to me.
Why is that?
Because I feel like if you're walking
to your car. A daytime abduction?
Well, not just that. I mean, on the way to your car.
It's pretty bold.
Yeah.
It is.
They do happen, though.
On the way to your car, I feel like that's an easy get. You know, you're grabbing them as they're walking to their car. Or as they're getting into their car, and maybe neighbors are watching, maybe they're not. On the way to work means she's en route. She's safely in her car.
Yeah.
So was it somebody with
like a carjacking?
There was
carjacking or like fake police sirens.
There's a show called See No Evil on Investigation
Discovery.
Yeah, I love
See No Evil. Also, they have Hear No Evil, which is also really good.
Yes, they're both really good. And their Hear No Evil is they have like audio clips from the actual crime or like 911 calls. But See No Evil, there's a bunch of surveillance footage of the victim before they died. And if this was like a crime of opportunity, the way those things happen, there is this one episode where this girl was coming out of her apartment, walking down the steps. And her apartment had a glass window in the door. And this guy is walking past as she's walking down and just sees her coming out and immediately hides around the corner, waits for her to open the door and runs back in and runs her back into her apartment, makes her drive to all these ATMs and take out money and then murders her. And it's like that quick he decided to do it. So
I saw that.
And she was on her way to work also.
But she had went to the gym, right? And she was coming home. It was like 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
I saw that one. That one was freaky because they showed her leaning over him. He would lean back. And I think he put like a bandana or something over his face. And she would lean over him.
So they have all the ATM footage?
Yes. And I want to say after the second one, you could see her. She was a black eye was forming. Like at some point, he'd probably punched her or like done whatever. And then I can't remember. Did they find her body?
Yeah, they found her body eventually. He dumped her somewhere. But yeah, it's like it could have been something like that.
I would
that.
Not have lasted that long because there's not that much money in my account.
Yeah, yeah. If you,
it makes you like, what would you do? I mean,
it's the truth.
Yeah.
I get it. Also, I will say this. So
that's the thing. You get abducted and they're like, let's go to the ATM and you have like $18 in your account, you're just like, oh,
but depending
I'm about
on
to
your
die.
Account, because through Chase, I couldn't pull money out, but I could go to like Ralph's and get some items and then pull $200 out and it would overdraft me. I could still buy online up to $1,000. So I could buy him stuff. I just couldn't go to an ATM.
She's like, I can't get you any cash, but I can get you some sweet shit off Amazon. Yeah.
I like how Carrie's like, no, don't worry. You can still kidnap me. It's fine.
Where should I have it sent to? What's the
address?
Just tell me.
And that's how they find the guy is because you happen to mail shit to his house.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, you know?
They find him because you're dating later.
I mean, I've dated worse, I'm sure.
Okay, let's carry on.
8 to 9 a.m. that morning, Kessie's boyfriend, who has normally heard from her by this time, calls her on his way to work, but his call goes directly to voicemail. Her boyfriend assumes she is busy with a meeting she had told him about previously. He tries to call her again after his 9 a.m. meeting. Call goes to voicemail. He continues his day at work until Kessie's parents call him later that morning to tell him that Kessie hadn't shown up for her job. It's also interesting to me, is that codependent? Like, they talk so much.
Here's the thing.
I mean, I know they're dating long distance.
Yeah, I'm in a long distance marriage, basically. And he drives me insane by how much he calls me. And it's only when he's bored. It's never to like actually discuss things. It's like, what are you doing? I'm driving.
Yeah.
But like if he's got stuff to do, oh, I can kick rocks. You know what I mean? So it's just when you're in long distance, I mean, you just, I think people talk way more than they used to. Like my mom is amazed when she'd be like, I don't know why, or like all of the younger people that work with my mom, she's like, they're just on their phones all day long talking to their husbands. Your dad doesn't call me all that much. And I was like, well, that speaks about your marriage.
But what do you have to talk about?
Like, exactly. You've worked.
Like, you
to
just
do.
Talk. Well, yeah. For her, it's like she just talked to him at 10 p.m. the night before at 9 a.m. What happened? You slept and you showered.
Yeah. Maybe shoot a text or so. But
I've lived with people who, like, I lived with a girl for about 10 years who, I shit you not, talked to her mother, father, brother, sister on the phone every day for about half an hour to an hour.
That's way too much.
Each. Nope. It was in I was just like in awe of this because me and my mom talk on the phone like every 6 months or something.
Right.
And other than that, like, we text if we need to. I'll go out and see her.
Yeah, if you need to.
It's like,
that's how it should be.
It's like,
if something
on a
happens,
need to know basis.
Listening to me and my mom have small talk over the phone is one of the most awkward thing. I should release that as a podcast.
Oh, it would should. Be. I'll see your conversations and raise you the ones with my mother, who's a big fan of repeating herself and
my mom
talking
too,
to me while she's multitasking, usually cleaning up after the cats or something.
The one pretty hysterical, or yelling at the dogs. We were going somewhere and you had your mom on speaker.
Oh, I'm
this
so
was
sorry.
And
that's when Carrie, that's when Carrie stopped being friends with me.
No,
she's like,
that's
I can't.
Not true. No, that actually made me want to be friends with you more. It was right before your wedding. So I think you were, you know, chatting it up about that. But they had been drinking, your mom and dad. And then I think, was it your grandma who like reversed and like ran over like a sprinkler system in your yard, and like your dad's like, ah, god damn it, like your grandma drove over the sprinkler system, is she drunk? And I was like, oh my god, this is a family like I want so badly. It just sounded like a party.
You're like, I
and it was
be
like Sunday at
grandma.
Noon, which I guess would have been 3 in Florida, but yeah, she's like 80 and would like,
she's 94,
right? And she makes these like crazy rum cakes.
All of her cakes she makes have booze in them, so she makes like a weekly liquor store run to buy booze.
Nice,
right?
Allegedly, it's for the cakes,
just for the cakes.
They're like, what keeps you alive? Jack Daniels.
It's keeping Carrie alive right now.
Jack Daniels Tennessee Honey.
Oh,
you should ask her. She's made a cake with the honey, with the TH.
I think she has.
The T-Hun, I call it.
She likes those trendy ones.
Oh, yeah? How long have you been calling it the T-Hun?
Since, you know, this morning, I guess.
Okay, 11 a.m. Kessie's coworkers are worried that she has been a no-call, no-show, missed an important
Why
meeting.
Why is that highlighted?
I don't know. All calls to Kessie's phone go straight to voicemail, indicating that it is powered off. Parents go to Orlando from Tampa. Kessie's condo manager, at her parents' request, obtain a spare key and let them in. The manager informs them that Kessie is absent and her car is gone, but everything inside the condo looks normal. Noon, at an apartment complex a little over a mile away from Kessie's condo, a hidden surveillance camera catches an unidentified person parking Kessie's car and then walking away. The car and the surveillance tape wouldn't be discovered until 2 days later on Thursday, January 26th. 3 to 3:15 that day, Kessie's parents arrived, followed shortly after by her brother. They and actually, I think she said the brother got there first.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Okay. Not that it really matters, but semantics, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
They discovered that it appears as if Kessie had been there that morning, prepared for work. They noticed her unmade bed with work clothes on it, a wet towel, her pajamas in the bathroom floor, along with her hair dryer and makeup products around the bathroom sink. Kessie's parents notify the police, who at first feel that she may have had a fight with her boyfriend and will return, which is common in missing person cases. Kessie's friends and family will go on to use her condo as a base of operations for the next 8 months.
So they were probably paying the mortgage.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. Yeah. But again,
here's
it takes a lot of foreclose.
Part. They never, police never, like, cased her apartment.
That's, yeah,
I,
that is
I don't
weird.
Know. I mean,
no,
I'm
they
going
never,
off what you
they,
say.
No,
yeah,
okay, they never did.
The notes.
So police never dusted her apartment for prints. They never,
they're just like, it looks
went
undisturbed.
Through her apartment. They're like, meh.
That's
don't see
crazy.
Anything here. And the people that were the head, like, deputies or the head detectives at the time were like old school guys, and they didn't write anything down.
I feel like that's so
great.
Old school. That's
yeah,
so old school.
They like, oh, got it all right up here,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Or so, it doesn't matter. I feel like they're also just so nonchalant. They would just like figure out like what worked for their scenario.
Yep.
And that's what they would run with.
So her apartment was never
was never ever cased, was never ever, you know, logged into evidence. Nothing was ever combed through in her apartment. They just looked at it and said, okay, probably didn't happen here. That just seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's frustrating that they would never check for fingerprints or anything. Just because the apartment looked normal, it's like,
yeah, they maybe still she got should have.
Maybe
yeah,
she got assassinated by the CIA.
And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, DNA wasn't still that new in 2006.
No, it wasn't.
They could have done something with it.
I mean, DNA started, like, we really started hearing about that with the OJ trial.
In the 90s, which was 94.
And all they got off of her car, so when they finally found her car, all they got out of her car was a partial fingerprint and a few fibers. Yeah. That's it. And I mean,
because they think he wiped it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
so if they were in the apartment, they should have checked.
So,
and I mean, they might have evidence from the apartment. Still, you don't know.
No evidence from the apartment. No evidence in the car except for a fiber and a partial print. That's it.
Wow.
But for sure, they know her car was, like, they don't know that people were in her apartment, but they do know for a fact that somebody was in her car.
Yes, 100%. And that's because of the video.
Right.
And to this day, like, when I had never seen the video until I discovered the podcast about her. And being from Florida, that's strange. I feel like I would have I would have seen it. This video is chilling. It's kind of like when you guys were talking about, like, I can't watch when I know something bad happened before or after. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know? And I mean, that's what I get looking at this video.
You don't see anything bad on it. It's just, you know, even though they say that person
knows
of interest,
what happened to her.
Unless somebody paid him to drive
car.
Her car, he was directly responsible. Yeah, watch the surveillance
video. He knows.
Video.
Yeah, exactly. Unless he was like a second person, you know, that was just like, hey, buddy, move this car for me.
Yeah. And you definitely want another shot of Jack Daniels, right, Jen?
Oh. Jen? Oh, this isn't the surveillance video. Hold on.
Actually, it is. Oh, was that just a still shot?
I think so, yeah.
So when you look at the still, when you look at the video, it's weird because you realize how crappy the technology was back then. It wasn't actually video. It was the cameras took stills every couple of seconds, so it looked like it moved.
Unfortunately, though, the
iron timing was just so perfect.
He was thin.
Yes.
And so by profile, there was nothing really to see.
No. Except every time he possibly had a man bun.
No, not 2006.
Yes.
Possibly. No, that's a conspiracy theory.
No, no, no. He possibly has a man bun in this
picture. I don't believe that.
I don't like that.
Well, no one likes that.
Well, like, you know, when it's under, it's not really a man bun. It's got that, like, undershaved, which is a popular style back in Florida in the day. So this was all undershaved here.
Right.
And then the top part was just pulled back.
Okay. That I can see. That's like a half bun.
Yes. It's not a true man bun.
Correct.
Huh.
This surveillance video of Jennifer Kessie brought to you by the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
Wonder if this is like an actual one. I feel like this might be one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I haven't seen this one.
We will put this on. I don't remember if this is a free episode or a Patreon only, but we'll either put this video on the website or the Patreon for people to see.
So he parks the car. He waits 30 seconds.
What was he waiting for? I bet he was wiping the car down.
He was like probably checking his emails, you know, on his phone. I don't I don't want to like drive and text.
I don't know that my phone had that kind of capability back in the
probably didn't.
You have to remember that's when like they were barely getting the camera phone situation going.
So yeah, that's
because one of the episodes later discusses that a guy was cashing his check across the street from where this apartment complex was, and he saw a guy kind of losing his shit at the fence, and he went over, and the guy was freaking out about something. Against the fence.
Oh, wow.
Man bun situation going on, or the half bun, as we're going to call it now.
Mm-hmm. The half bun.
The half bun situation going on. Like said he was kind of effeminate looking, smaller, you know?
See, it made me think, and I think I've got it in the notes. They clocked his height at 5'3 to 5'5, and her mom talks about how he almost seems like he has disproportionate body features, like a teenager, kind of gawky and awkward. And that was the other reason I thought maybe he was paid to park the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Could be. But then what would he really be freaking out about?
Exactly.
If someone just paid you to park the car.
But so the guy went over there and he had already seen this stuff on the news. This is weeks after the fact. The guy had actually allegedly returned to the spot, if it is in fact the same person, the same POI. And like he went to go take a picture of it. He goes, because camera phones were like just coming out. And he goes, and I couldn't get it open fast enough because the guy realized what I was trying to do. And he says he stopped and he put his hands over his face and was like, no, and ran away.
Wow. So that guy probably killed her, whoever that is.
Involved. There's one of those. Yeah. That's one of the many stories that like they cover in this podcast. Another one that I found interesting was a Facebook post that was put up by a guy that's been what do you call it when someone's taken out of the country? Because
deported.
Yes, deported. Sorry, slipped my mind.
How so am someone ranked the most, and I like, got that right off the bat.
You're gonna kill it at crosswords when you're drunk.
I don't know.
He was deported from the country for various crimes, and on a Facebook post, he basically was like coming clean with like all of these shitty things he did when he was in America. And it was like, da 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 da. And everything's really specific by name. A lot of it was most of it was his family. Uh-huh. And then he got down towards the end and he was like, yeah, I shot this person. I did this. And then he just wrote, and I apologize to Jennifer Kessie's parents.
Wow.
And the post was only up for 24 hours. And someone that he went to high school happened to screenshot it because they recognized the name and they were like, why would he be saying that? That's really weird. And so they've kind of gone on and I guess the podcast has since sent that information in to the authorities.
Right.
And now they're investigating this guy and whether or not he could have had some kind of, you know, connection with what happened. But that's a really odd thing to put in your Facebook post.
It is. And I mean, and there's always people that
it wasn't like a thoughts and prayers post.
Yeah.
12 years after the fact.
And there's always people that do that kind of thing as like a hoax or for attention. Right. But either way, you have to like look into it and find out why.
If you're trying to get back in the country, admitting to murder is not really going to help your case. Unless he's hoping he gets brought back and extradited and brought back for this trial. He's like, the place where I'm at is so shitty. I'd rather be extradited and tried for murder in the United States.
That's not an
impossible idea. Like, it could be that he could also be like, yeah, jail would be better than Syria or wherever he's getting deported to.
And the jails there are probably gross.
But if they're still standing.
That's like the two things that I think struck out to me the most. I mean, this podcast has been going on for a year and change, probably like a year and 4 months or so. And because they started it close to the anniversary of her disappearance, you know?
Right.
And it's just interesting to see how cooperative like the online community has been in trying to help find her.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to think that maybe that someone out there does know something, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, especially that like that guy that saw the person parking the car. Like,
yes,
right.
There have to be more people. Like that guy obviously went somewhere after that and was probably still being kind of a maniac when he got there.
Absolutely. But they did say, so one of the people that the person that brought the Facebook post to the podcast, he actually said that the guy that wrote it looks nothing like the person of interest.
Oh,
but he had a friend that looked very similar to the person of interest. He's like, I've seen the video, and he goes, and this person could definitely fit that, you know, that description, that
interesting,
that image, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I definitely encourage people to watch the footage. It is creepy,
though.
Where
can they find it?
I think it's on her website and on Unconcluded's website.
Okay.
Yeah. You mean the surveillance?
The surveillance footage. Yeah.
Of the guy. So
we'll put it up on our
there is also
Patreon
like other theories
on
though.
Pops
that,
also.
Okay, cool. There is also theories that there could have been like a construction worker, you know, because her apartment was under construction. Like how often, like
they did say that, and they said that a lot of them for the most part were illegal. So it was very hard to
even keep track of them.
Keep track to question them. So that could have been. They also had said that the guy who was walking by the fence looked like he was wearing painter's clothes because they were very off color, white.
But they found out that the color of the video
made everyone's clothes look that color. So that night, Kessie's family and friends, they went out and distributed flyers. The next morning, 8:10 a.m., after seeing Kessie's car in the morning news, a tenant at a nearby apartment complex calls police. And by the way, this is called Huntington on the Green. Doesn't that sound fucking amazing?
Huntington on the Green?
Yes.
That sounds great.
Right? It's not. Police, Complex calls. Police inform them that a car matching that description has been parked outside their apartment for several days. Police arrive and confirm that it is, in fact, Kessie's car. Car is photographed and hauled to the crime lab for a forensic exam. Police confiscate the local surveillance footage and discover an unidentified person parking it, walking away, and never looking back. This would turn out to be the strongest lead for foul play. Okay, so once a car was found at the Huntington on the Green apartment complex, which sounds lovely, but apparently was a drug haven and a place for unsavory characters, police reviewed the surveillance video from a camera mounted on top of the clubhouse. On the same day that Jennifer disappeared, her car was parked in the parking lot around noon. After about 30 seconds, a young, slender man got out and walked away from the car without looking back. Unfortunately, the only video evidence they have of the person of interest, POI, is of him walking by the complex fencing, obstructing his face. Different agencies, including NASA, tried to help enhance the photo, but it did not help reveal any facial characteristics. The FBI then stood in the same place where the POI was seen walking along the fence to surmise that he was between 5'3 and 5'5. Joyce Kessie said that he seemed to have disproportionate figures, lanky arms and legs with large feet, leading her to the belief that this was a teenager. The Kessies wanted to release this video to the public to see if anyone recognized this man, but the police wanted to keep it as an ace in their pocket in case they were able to interrogate this guy. And I think that's a really good question. And I remember thinking about this on the podcast last night. You're the family and you're like, I will do anything to find my daughter. If this helps, if somebody recognizes this guy.
Give us the footage.
Give us the footage. And the police were like, nah, ma. I want to keep this in my back pocket in case I can use it against them. And it's like a chess game. I don't think the police are trying to be.
But if you have no suspects, what are you holding that hostage for? Do you know what I mean?
But they're thinking if they can't find somebody, I guess, that looks like them, that they want to be like, oh, were you at the Huntington on the Green, I guess, apartments at 12 p.m. on January 26th?
But even then, like, that video is not going to be enough to definitively
ID. It just puts him in the car.
Yeah.
Right.
And even 100%. Then, it's such grainy footage that you almost need someone, you almost need that middleman or middle person to go, I think that's this person. Go talk to him. And I think it's this person because this person does all this shady shit. And maybe go check them out.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can't just arrest someone and go, see, that's him in that video.
Yeah, we got you from this video that even NASA couldn't help us figure out.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you release it to the public? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
I mean, it's obviously been released, but it's weird that they even waited.
Yeah, and as a family, I would have been like, no, like somebody would have come forward if it was released right away and said, that looks like so-and-so. I wouldn't say like Orlando's not like the biggest city in the world. Like I feel like somebody would have known.
But Orlando is very transient city.
Well, not just – okay. Yeah.
A lot of tourists. There is
that. But think about the Huntington on the Green apartment. Whoever it was either familiar with that apartment complex or knew that they had unsavory dealings going on there. So
okay.
I mean, that's hard. So
how far are you in the podcast right now?
4 episodes.
Okay. So I don't know if you've gotten to the episode yet, but apparently the woman that is the – realtor.
Okay.
Or like the person that's the apartment manager at Huntington on the Green. Jennifer came in the week before. She already owns a condo. She came in and was asking questions about renting an apartment there or renting a condo there at Huntington on the Green when she already lives at Mosaic.
That's really weird.
This is
down the street. And she says she was not interested in buying and in renting anything. She literally came in there to quote unquote, she's like, I was getting mad because I thought she was there wasting my time. And then she's like, and then going back and realizing she was there potentially hiding from someone. She's like, she kept looking out the window. She kept, she was very distracted, very kind of in her own world. And like the girl that was helping her, and like that's been backed up with records.
Because so they know for sure it was Jennifer Kessie.
Because she filled out
there.
The paperwork and she remembers looking at the name going, Kessie, like, oh, that's a pretty name. It's like, oh, Kissing, you know, like, and she remembered that last name. And so when that happened, the girl went back to her files and was like, holy shit, this girl was in my office last week.
So to talk about semantics, if you have
and
a
what's
job,
the name of this podcast? We're referencing this podcast.
I feel like unconcluded.
People should go listen to it because so much of what we're talking about is coming from that podcast, right. And obviously they've covered it way more extensively than we have.
This is Cliff's Notes.
So go give them some goddamn downloads.
So I also think if you have a job where you have to, like my job, I'm in the field. Mm-hmm. So it's very autonomous. again, I could be missing for a while.
Yeah.
And nobody fucking knows. But with her,
I feel that way as a single woman in LA, though. Like, do you ever get nervous walking to your car sometimes when you're like, this is where I could get murdered?
A little bit is the fact I think that I have a roommate who, if I don't show up for a certain amount of days, might be.
I love that it's days.
Or if there's a smell maybe coming from my room, might be like, oh, something happened to Carrie.
I miss having a roommate sometimes.
That's literally, and my roommate Danielle's amazing. But that's
I would hope she wouldn't realize in under 3 days that there was something wrong.
But so that's the thing, though. We're always in like, I'm going somewhere, she's going somewhere. I mean, it's not like we hang out. Mm-hmm. It's just when I see her, I see her. So I had not seen her for like 3 days. And me and Caitlin were recording our last podcast for Why Women True Crime. And I was like, dude, I haven't seen Danielle for like days. And like it was Sunday, and I was like, I texted her on Friday, and she didn't write back. And then I was busy, and then it was like Sunday afternoon, and I was like, she hasn't been here in 2 days. Like, usually she tells me where she is. Like, maybe she told me, and I forgot. So I called her, and she didn't answer, and I was like, wow, that's weird. She usually, like, answers. Mm-hmm. She ended up calling back, and she was fine, but I was like, okay, you called back, you're alive, great.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of – and I thought about that living alone, like – if I disappear, who knows?
Exactly.
And having a job where I'm out in the field, like I don't see people on a regular basis.
No. You spend a lot of time in your car, which apparently can make you an easy target.
Well, here's the other thing. So if she has a job where she has to be somewhere on time.
By the way, Adam ran out of the room. Hopefully he's not throwing up.
No, I think he's going number one. I don't know. He pointed to his drink of the Jack Daniels. And then he ran.
Just going to the bathroom, everybody.
It was number one.
I was like, he's totally throwing up. Number
one. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
But I feel like if she was supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, it's like, what was she doing in that apartment complex? You know what I mean? Like, was she late to work at a certain point? Like, when did she go to this apartment complex a week prior to ask? Was it during work? Because if so, they seem so concerned about her whereabouts.
No, no. They made it sound like this was the weekend prior to her leaving on her trip.
Ah, so weird. That's interesting, though.
Yeah, that is.
So in May 2000-
I could have that date wrong again, but-
In May 2007. But I mean, even,
like, no matter when that happened, it's weird. Yeah.
Totally. In May 2007, her company offered a $1 million reward for Jen for a safe return if she was alive. But on the constituent? On the – I feel like I'm looking for a big word.
Contingency
that contingent she was still, upon. The fact that she was alive. No leads came from this reward. The police later offered a $5,000 reward because they're cheap. For Jennifer's safe return or location of her remains. But that reward also generated no new leads.
My theories have come down to a few things.
Yeah.
By the way, her ex-boyfriend was within a mile and a half of her apartment the night she went missing at a bar. And apparently he was wasted. So my only question is, have you ever been that close to an ex and like they're like in that proximity of an ex and not tried to holler at them when you were that drunk?
Well,
no.
I mean,
no.
I get you're what showing, you're. I get
you're
what
showing
you're
up
saying,
at her apartment, but, even if it's just a talk. Like, I don't think he did anything nefarious or anything like that. But
yeah, it's definitely the fact that he was that close is definitely suspicious, puppy. That's precarious. The way you're just putting your head under that railing.
It's just weird that she ran in here like she knows like we're wrapping up, so she wanted to come say bye.
Oh, goodbye. Yeah, I think she can tell when we're getting ready to wrap up. If it wasn't that, like if it wasn't an ex-boyfriend or something, it seems like it was probably kind of a crime of opportunity.
Crime of opportunity.
Thing,
yeah, I'm leaning more towards crime of opportunity. Or, you know, the thing that keeps getting put out there is, did Jennifer Kessie have a side to her that her family didn't know about?
Yeah, the thing about
like,
her-
do we all have like shady dealing or shady corners of our life that our family doesn't know about where she could have been involved in some kind of, even something dumb like drugs can go sideways.
Yeah, you that's what I was thinking. If that apartment complex that she showed up at and where her car is eventually parked at, if that really is like the kind of place they describe it as,
yeah,
then it could have been that too. She could have been doing drugs, and
where
sometimes
was
that goes bad.
Where was the one that the guy abducted the girl when she was walking out of her building? Where did that take place?
I want to say it was
Florida.
It was the East Coast, I believe. It was like New Jersey, Florida. Pennsylvania, no. Maybe Florida, yeah.
I feel like it's Northeast, though, like Boston
yeah,
area.
I think it was.
So much shit happens in Florida, you know what I mean? Like,
Florida has, I can't log into Twitter without being embarrassed by something that's happened in Florida.
Yeah. The only thing about Florida, it's kind of skewed in that they're way more,
it's out there.
They're one of the least strict places in terms of what information they'll release to the public when a crime happens.
Because some of it's straight up embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, and, we and all some, probably have stuff like that, but and, theirs is unfiltered.
Yeah, it's the same reason, if you remember Crank Yankers, which was a prank phone call show, most of those calls were to numbers in Las Vegas, because Las Vegas was the one place that didn't have laws that would prohibit doing that kind of thing. And Florida just...
Or hidden camera pranks.
Right.
Know that one, too.
And Florida just doesn't have the same kind of laws as everywhere else. So their crazy stories get out there better, but they happen everywhere. Don't feel too bad about yourself, Florida. Like, I mean, kind of bad.
Okay, last week the story came out. The story came out in Florida that two men had tried to light somebody's barn on fire dressed as a bull.
Barn burning.
Dressed as a bull. But they tried to burn it down with hot sauce.
Like, did it work?
No. Aww. And they got arrested. Not even making this shit
I
up.
Didn't realize how many rednecks were in Florida until...
It's all in the interior.
I moved there for those 2 long years. And it was right... I think I moved early October of 2008. And Obama had gotten elected. And I went to this bar trying to make friends, and I had never
and you were like, I don't want to be friends with these people.
The N-word you so freely, where I was like, you can't say that. Yeah. And everyone's like, that's how we talk.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I wasn't used to it.
So on behalf of the state of Florida, I apologize for our people, but definitely check out this podcast and check out the video, if nothing else, the video of the POI, and share it like on Facebooks and stuff. Cause you never know who sees what, who
of
knows
course.
Who.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, been 12 years, which is crazy. It's been
that
so
family
long.
Deserve like her. Logan,
I agreed.
Logan and his family, they just deserve closure. You know what I mean? Like, odds are we know what the answer is,
right?
But like
right.
to physically have your daughter back.
100%. I agree.
And regardless of the shape she's in. You know what I mean?
I thought sometimes, I'm like, what do I really love? And I'm like, you know, I've had a dog before and I really love my dog. What if somebody took my dog and I didn't know like where it was or how it was being treated? And then after a while,
you can't have that open-endedness.
I mean, that's insane. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes to the selfishness of whoever's an abductor or a killer, where there's not just like that victim. It's just like a whole wake of fucking victims that you've traumatized forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Should we wrap this up? I feel like
we should.
If for no other reason than March Madness reasons, Final Four is about to start.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it is.
We should get that.
Use your words.
We should get that going. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, God. It's so funny when somebody who's sober can't spit out the right words.
You guys are so much like more well-spoken than I am right now.
I feel like there's something about hard alcohol in particular that makes me more articulate.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a very good theory.
I think it's because I'm like trying to like overcompensate for the fact that like I see 8 of Adam right now.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I mean, that bottle is almost half
gone. I've had like 2 shots and that bottle's like half gone. So
it's
take it easy, Carrie.
Get on with your bad self. Get off my back, Dad.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here?
I don't have anything.
I have two charity shows that I'm working on. The rest of the shows are garbage. But 2 charity shows I'm working on. One is at a cat cafe. So that's
all good kitties.
Yes, all good kitties.
Oh, they're good.
So that one's going to be next. It's going to be April 4th.
Nice.
At Cat Cafe Lounge over in West LA. And then the other one is going to be May 6th at the Comedy Store. That's going to be like our big one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Everyone go check that out.
Yeah.
You don't have anything, Carrie?
I don't. Who are you doing these with?
Myself. Oh. Do you want to help?
I thought you were going to ask me if you wanted help, but you didn't ask.
Do you want to help?
Well, not now.
What kind of help do you need?
Yeah. Carrie's like really good at events and shit.
Oh. Also go to patreon.com/unpops to subscribe to the rest of our podcasts.
Before we leave.
Oh, boy.
Can we all.
Oh, God.
Take a moment and finger each other. I haven't fingered anybody in a while, Jen.
What is this?
I feel like I have to get up.
What is happening right now?
You're getting fingered.
Well, no, that's not.
It's no,
not
that's exactly
is.
What's happening.
This is more of a pointing thing, thank no, God. It's not what it sounds like, guys. No, it's fingering. Really not. No,
they know what fingering is.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, no, this is something we do all the time. Adam and I are like, we can't stop fingering.
Oh, yeah. God.
All right. Well, okay, that was it. Sit back down.
To finish hosting the- I hope he washed his hands.
Okay. You know, that's so subjective. Really. When you splash a little water on him, isn't it the same?
We gotta go.
We have to. We absolutely have to. Let's get out of here.
March Madness.
Jen, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye, boo.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Oh, my God.